a second chance. A lot of folks don't seem like they get a second chance. You wonder if they do, but it's probable that they do, and they miss that chance also. They flub the first chance and the second chance with God both. I want to read this scripture here in connection with God's offer of a second chance to people that have failed Him, that have muffed their opportunity they had the first time when God called them and set them apart, and then they wandered away or fell away from the grace and the love that God had freely given them, went back into sin or just become a failure in what God called them to do. In Malachi, the third chapter, in verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Or how shall we return? What are the qualifications? What are your demands? What do you require? What's the requirements if we return, Lord? How can we return? Some people get so far away from God, they just about lose any hope, much less faith, of ever being restored or reconciled back to God or back to the position that they forfeited. There's a lot of preachers mess up. And I tell you, you take a man of God, if he ever messes up real good and proper, it is virtually impossible ever to restore him. That is, back to that position he once had. I don't know as I've ever seen it happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. We're going to consider some Bible examples that I know it's not impossible. But to get back into God's grace and love is one thing. But to be restored back to your position, now that's another thing. That's another thing. But sometime God does give a second chance if you're young enough and if your attitude stays right. Now, if your attitude gets all twisted and wrong, you get contrary, you get rebellious, then you certainly won't get back. Now, the Lord made a real effort here through Malachi to get the people of His generation to turn back to Him. He says, I want you back. I want you to return to me. And every one of these prophets, mostly without exception, had a message with some mercy in it, some offer of restoration or reconciliation was in that offer of the message that God gave them. Now, Jonah had a message. There was no offer of mercy, but there was mercy, but he didn't offer it. There was no offer in that message God gave him. But in most of these messengers of God, the prophets, there was room for conciliation. Reconciliation, restoration, return to me. But I want to tell you one thing about getting a second chance with God. God's promise of restoration in returning is premised upon one great act on your part, and there's no other act of obedience that will bring you into a position of reconciliation and restoration with God except that one. And that is true repentance. Now, I want to tell you what repentance is like. That's one thing that many Christians get all messed up in because they think apology is repentance. That is not repentance. I can tell you I'm sorry. That's not repentance. I'm sorry. Not repentance. Repentance is something that God has to affect and implement in your life. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not an apology. Shoot, you can see somebody do something strange and crude and painful and insulting or something. They can turn right around just that quick and say, I'm sorry. That ain't repentance. They can do it again next time they round you. That's not repentance. Repentance is of a different nature. It comes out of a different nature. If it's spontaneous, it's because the Holy Ghost initiates it. It must be initiated by the Holy Ghost, or you can't repent. And restoration or a second chance is premised on one great effort on your part, and that is you come back and repent to God. Let's get this straight. If nobody didn't know anything about your sin or your rebellion or your contrariness but God, then you confess it to God and God alone. If you sinned against your wife or husband, then you confess and repent to your husband or wife. If you sinned against your neighbor or your boss man or your creditor, then you go to him and confess it and repent of it and be restored back to that neighborly position or that trustful position you once had. Now let me get on a little further here in this business of a second chance. God offers second chances to about everybody that has failed him, that has wandered away, that has been contrary or ignorant or apathetic, or some condition existed that caused you to blunder and wander or withdraw from God's will and purpose for your life. But let me tell you this. If that sin, that rebellion, whatever it was that the devil used to cause you to do something that is generally known, the church knows it, it was against the church, it hurt the church, then that repentance and restoration must be in the presence of that assembly, or you will not ever get that restoration. Your repentance has to be as open as it was known. Jesus said, if you have aught against your brother, and you bring a gift to the altar, and there remember, not only you got aught against your brother, but your brother's got aught against you. Boy, that puts the blame, the responsibility on you. I don't care which way it turns. God relieves you of any excuse. You can't hide behind no excuse. If you come down there and you got aught against your brother, or then you remember, my brother's got aught against me. You leave your gift and you go to your brother's house. You don't have to jump up in the church and confess it. You go to your brother. But if the church knows it, it hurt the church, it was against the church, and it's generally known, then that restoration, that repentance has to be before the church. Like a young man here this week. We have rules and regulations. And he was caught smoking. And it didn't just happen today. It's been that way. You may not know who's missing this morning and who it is. But I told him he had to leave. And I mean right then. He knew the rules. I'd already rebuked him for it. Gave him a second chance. He needs a third one. But what is restoration premised upon with God Almighty and with your fellow man? It's premised upon one thing, is that I will accept you. You can return. I'll take you back if you repent. Now he's going to have to repent before the church. And you ain't going to repent just to God. God don't work that way. God just don't work that way. You want that second chance, third chance? Then you've got to be as open as your sin or your display of rebellion was open. All right, let's look at some fellas in the Bible. Now, we got some good examples here, and we must consider them. I want us to look at the great man Saul, king of Israel. In the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, okay? Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, he chose him 2,000 men and went down and fought with the Philistines. The prophet of God had given him an order. Don't you go fight until I have come, and we have sought God's counsel and offered up a sacrifice and an oblation. See, one of those fiery sacrifices that the law commanded for God to receive before trouble was approached. And he spoke to the king of Israel and he said, verse 8, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Here he had a problem arise. And because you have a problem arise, you turn from the word of God and decide to take matters in your own hands. Well, you sin when you take matters in your own hands and do not obey God's word even in a crisis, when it looks like everything's crumbling around you. Oh, I'm going to do something else now. I'm not going to wait on God now. I'm going to do what I want to do. That prophet, he didn't show up. He did. He showed up late that afternoon. If he'd have waited till sundown, that man would have been there before that sun went down the seventh day. He'd have been there. But listen to what? When the prophet